Morning. It's good to be here. I just about canceled. I'll tell you why, because I was in Argentina for 3.5 months and I picked up 2 diseases free. One was cellulitis, which is a bacteria, and it put me up for 1 week in bed. And then about a month and a half ago, I picked up dengue. And some of you from Malaysia and China will know what that is. And because of that, I lost my hearing. It's not contagious, don't worry about it. But if I take this out, I hear absolutely nothing. It's complete silence. Nothing. And last week I was at Parkcrest preaching and I couldn't hear nothing. But this week I went and I got this. So I can hear you, but it's as if you're talking with your ear full of water. Are you with me? So I'm having a harder time hearing. But because of that, you've got a message today. And that's why I came, because I really believe I have a message for you. I have a message for myself, for all of us. And the question that I'm asking because of the problem I'm having is exactly that. Listening. You got a message. I got a message from God because I can't listen. I can't hear. I'm deaf. I'm talking through a tunnel. Everything's echoing. So listening. Listen. So what question would you ask me if I just leave that word and we go home? What question would you ask listening? Well, I think you would ask, listening to what? Listening to who? And if I'm talking too loud, Jonathan, just go like that and I'll try to tone it down because I don't know how loud or how soft I'm talking. I went over this message 20 times in front of the mirror with my wife listening to me. So you're getting sense. So listen. Listen to what? Listen to him, the Bible says. In Matthew chapter 17, 5, it says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Matthew wrote this. Matthew chapter 17. God is telling you and me to listen to his son. And I think it's so important that Matthew talks about it. Mark says, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice from the cloud, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. This is Mark. Matthew, Mark. Also, Luke says, a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. So it must be important. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's written to all of us. It's written to, if you're here this morning and you're not of the part of the family of God, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God is saying, listen to him. Not to me, listen to him, God. I mean, if I don't want to listen now, all I have to do is take my phone and go click and it'll go deaf again. But God says, don't do that. Don't turn me off. Listen to me. Listen to me. He who has ears, let him hear. And we all have ears. And we have spiritual ears also. So we're going to be talking about physical ears, which I haven't got right now. And we're going to talk about spiritual ears. And I want this first to ring in your ears for the next 30 minutes, so 28 minutes. It's ringing in my ear. That's because I have a problem. God is telling us to listen to him. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to him? Are you listening to him? Again, this message came about because I'm deaf. I never understood what it is to be deaf. If I was blind, maybe the Lord would give me a message on blindness. I couldn't have preached this 2 months ago because I became deaf a month ago. The question I have, is it possible to listen to him? Oh, you're going to say, sure, it's easy. But are we listening to him? Is it possible? It's not easy. In our medium culture, can we listen to Jesus? Can we live out our Christian life inside this age of virtual videos, addicted gambling, blockbuster movies, and endless feeds of new social media? Why do we have an appetite, us, the human beings, to be glued to the television, to our screens and our computers, in our iPads, in our iPhones? Why are we so set on this? I mean, we have the internet, we have radio, we have magazines, television, newspapers. I mean, how many apps do you have? And some of us, I'm 79, I know I look 59, you don't have to keep saying that. But at 79, I have approximately 18 apps on my iPhone, solely for listening or reading or books. Or we have Zoom, we have WhatsApp, we have Guidebook, we transfer, Facebook, I use them all, TikTok, Messenger. And all of these want a piece of you. All of them want your attention. All of them want us to use them. All of us want to. They want us to, you know, TikTok, Facebook. Oh, excuse me. I have a phone call. Yes, hello? I'm busy right now. I'm preaching in a church. Okay, bye. I mean, it's just about that bad. Excuse me, I got to go to my iPad. I have a message. It's just about that bad. It's incredible how much time we spend. And today it's even worse because we have AI. All I have to say, probably push a button here and say, where was Jonathan last week? And it would probably come up where he was. It's like that. AI is something unreal. Sarah, Google, information is coming to us from all directions. All directions. And as I said, each of these functions just want us to use it for half hour, an hour. As a photographer, and I'm going to show you a picture later on, don't be shocked. I can put my face on a body like that, or like that. Fake news, listen to Trump. Today, it is so different. Let's look at this verse. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by prophets. But in these last days, he is speaking to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom all he created the world. He is the radiant of the glory of God, an exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the words of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having been as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus is God's holy son. And God, in the Old Testament, he sent messengers. This morning I was reading in one of my devotionals in John how that the Jewish people believed that Moses was a prophet. The Jewish people, and they're beautiful people, I know hundreds of them, but they don't believe that Jesus was sent by God. But Jesus was sent by God. And Jesus is God's messenger. Yes, he uses the prophets. That's why we have the Old and the New Testament. Yahweh, your God, will raise up to you a prophet from amongst you. For your brothers like me, you should listen to him. That's what Deuteronomy 18:15 says. Thank God for Moses. Thank God for the prophets. But thank God also for Jesus. Fake news, as I said. Now look at them. I don't want to shock you. I won't leave it on too long. Are you ready for it? Look at that muscle man. What a body, eh? Wow. I mean, was that bite there? No. You take it out. Photoshop. You don't know what to believe today. It's unreal. With Photoshop, my son works probably about 4 hours a day with Photoshop. He lives in Argentina. He works for a firm in Whitehorse. He does a travel pamphlets, like when you're going to Dawson Creek or to White Yellowknife or to Kelowna, Penticton, Vernon, you get a book. And all the restaurants, he works on that in Argentina. But he can do with Photoshop, unbelievable. I mean, really, what's that? That bite there, was it just a bear? So you don't know what to believe. I remember one time I was preaching, I said, well, it's on the internet. I had three people after the meeting said, Ron, you shouldn't have said that. I goofed. I made a mistake because there's so much garbage on the internet. There's some good stuff too, don't get me wrong. I use it all day long, just about for one thing or another. What is real? What is true? What can you believe? The Bible. Dear friends, I'm here to tell you today on a lot of authority that we can't trust the Bible. You can't trust Google. You can't trust the internet. When I talk about the internet to people, I always tell them, ojo, ojo. Ojo, be careful, because you get taken in. It sounds so good. It looks so good. It's so much information. What is real? It means that all of his communication flows, all of God's communication from Jesus, points to Jesus. Is measured by Jesus, is proved by Jesus, orients around Jesus. Jesus is God's decisive word to the world. It's the last word that he has to say. You're going to say, Ron, you're a fanatic. Yes, I am a fanatic for Jesus. I am a fanatic for the word. I was a teenager at Vancouver Tech. I was good looking then, thin, crew cut. Black t-shirt on, you know. And you know what I had on top of my books? Going from hall to study, I had a big black King James Bible. I was called the preacher. I won't tell you that word. Different things that I was called. And since then, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you my passion for the Word of God, I gave out 2,500 Bibles in Quebec alone. hotels, motels, prisons. I remember one time I was standing on the street and kids were coming out of school in Argentina. And I was giving out Bibles and a priest came out. It just happened to be. And he saw this and he started ripping him up and he told the kids, don't take it, don't take it. He probably thought it was something else. He thought it was some propaganda. He was trying to protect his kids. But after I went down, and I could bend down when I can't now, I would bend down, I picked it all up, and I went to the bishop of Bishop. I went to the highest authority of the church. And I went and I asked if I could have an audience. The lady said, I said, no, I haven't got an appointment. She said, well, he's very busy. I said, I'll wait. So I sat down. I got called in 2 hours later. I put all of these pieces of Bible on the desk. And you know what happened? I broke down. It wasn't theatrics. It wasn't, it was emotions. I lost it. I started crying. And the bishop said, well, he didn't know what to do. So I told him what happened. I said, I am here telling Roman Catholics, Protestants, Evangelists, Baptists, Alliance Church people, Methodist Church people, I'm telling them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not trying to win anybody to the Protestant church. I'm going to preach Jesus. And he looked at me, and I was crying. And he looked at the paper. He put it. I gave him one that wasn't ripped up. 2 weeks later, he gave me a letter giving me permission to go to the schools, the hotels, the motels, and the prison. That's my passion for the Word. That's my passion for the Word. Because this is the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And we get that from the Bible. It's in the Bible. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Hebrews chapter 2:1. We must reinforce this commandment. God doesn't want us to drift away. I know Christians that have been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, and they've left the Bible, the Word of God, they left the Bible to one side, and they have drifted away. Drifted away. Don't go to church. Don't pray. It's the Bible that we recharge our batteries. Every morning when I read the Bible, I get as if I'm touching batteries. I get all excited. I get all moved. And God does that to you because the Word of God is alive. It's true. We must pay close attention. And we must take heed to. Now, I don't always obey it. I'm not standing up in front of you people saying, well, I read the Bible and I obey it. No. Sometimes I drift away. Yes? Oh, yeah. You know, a day goes by, 2 days go by, you're busy. My wife, she's not here. She's leading the worship at Cascades Gospel Church this morning. But I've never seen a morning that she's not sitting down on the kitchen table with the Bible open. I have to admit sometimes, hi, honey, I gotta go. Where is my time with Jesus? How did I charge my batteries? Some days I don't. But I'm telling you to do what I don't do sometimes. And I'm hoping this will help me to do it more often. Wake up. Drifting away. Drifting away. It says, wake up. Listen. Take heed to the Bible. You know, I got in trouble the other day. I was praying at a meeting and was thanking God for the Holy Spirit. And I was thanking God that he leads us and takes care of us and he gives us a kick in the pants. And after I got two people come up to me, you say, you can't say the Holy Spirit gives you a kick in the pants. Well, I'm talking figuratively, frankly, but sometimes he does. Okay. He brings it. Maybe this is for that. Maybe he's trying to tell me to listen. Why has this happened? I'm not upset. I'm not discouraged. It might come back. It might not come back. If it might not come back, I'll try to get a hearing aid that's even better than this one. And if I can't find one, I'll go around the way he wants me to. All things work together for good to them that love God. Zero in on... Can I talk again? We won, didn't we? Oh, excuse me. I wasn't supposed to bring that up. But zero in on what? The latest movie? Zero in on the Word of God. If you want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you've got to get into the Word. Hebrews 2 and 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So it really boils down in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, that God has spoken to us these last days by the Spirit. Therefore, we must take close attention to what Jesus says. And Jesus says he's right there. His arms are wide open. He wants you and me to go to him. We use that as an evangelical message, but it's also for us, the Christian. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to learn from him. He wants us to be like him. But in those last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir to all things, and through whom he made the universe. These are all good books. These are all good books. But you know, the thing is, we've got to get away from some of those books and get into the book. We've got to get away from all of those other things that are taking our attention and getting in to reading and studying the Word of God. You're going to say, but Ron, I'm so busy. Now, I don't know. I'm picking on Jonathan. He's bigger than I shouldn't. I shouldn't pick on him. You know, I don't usually pick on bigger people than I do. But I'm sure on the plane, he opened up the Bible at one time. I'm sure he took time. But that's what God wants us to do. To be at the right place at the right time. And how many, I've been to 75 countries, different countries. And how many times I've been on a plane reading a Bible and people say, "Huh, you still read that old book?" And I just tell people, I sure do. That's my nourishment. That's my food, my comida, my substance. We've got to listen. How are you doing along the lines of reading and studying the Bible? Now, if we want to listen, if we want to get something on the computer, we have to take the time to go out and buy a computer. If we want to do something, we've got to do something about it. It doesn't always come easy. I have my computer. I have all my wife calls them my toys. Can you imagine? Okay, audacity. Saying that my iPhone, my iPad, my MacBook Pro, my are toys. Oh no. I tell her, they're ministry tools. She says, Look at that picture. I could give you hundreds of pictures like that, all ages. You're driving down the street, you look in the car next door, and all the children have iPads sitting on their laps. You go to visit Starbucks for coffee Saturday afternoon, and all the beautiful couples, old and young, are sitting there having a lovely time together looking on their phones. Maybe they're texting each other, I don't know. And I know, I have a message. My wife just finished. They start at 10 o'clock, yeah. See what I mean? Ding! Ding! You can't get... When I have my siesta, I take my watch off, I take my phone, I put it in the other... Before, I used to just put my phone in the other room. But when it comes in here, it dings on my phone. So I have to take it both off. But that's what they want. The society wants us to get involved in all this. But look at that. That is so true. Look at, they're having family time. Isn't that nice? Family time. He's probably looking at Ramble, the Kung Fu 6. And she's probably watching Grace Cadden. I don't know. It is so true. It is so bad. On all of my apps now, this pops up often. It's calculating how much time I've had screen time. I don't know how to turn it off. I've got to Google my son, or text my son, or do a WhatsApp with my son to how to get rid of it. Because sometimes it's embarrassing. No, but I'm studying the Word. We have our excuses, don't we? Don't we? Listen to Jesus. The first commandment in the book of Hebrews is listen to him. Listen. Please listen to Jesus. Don't drift away. Don't turn the radio up so loud. The other day, I got a text message. I was watching TV with my wife. I have renters downstairs. And because of my problem, I had the TV turned way up. They didn't take a broom handle go like that. They sent a text message, could you turn the volume down? That's the truth. Sometimes we have the radio so loud we can't listen to Jesus. We have the television so loud. It pleases Jesus to listen to us. Only one thing makes it hard. If you don't want to listen. If you want to listen, you can listen. If you want to read the Word of God, you know, I thank God today. On this little device, I have French Bibles. 6 different versions. Spanish, I've got 7 versions. English, I've got 14 different versions. Versions? Is that the right word? Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Joanna. She's my translator. So I thank God for that. I'm a King James person. I was born and raised with King James. I got saved through King James. But since learning French and Spanish, Greek and Hebrew, I'm having trouble with all of them. When I'm preaching, sometimes it turns into two, three different languages. So I like the New International Version, for instance. It's, for me, a little easier to read. And I do a lot of witnessing to new Canadians, and they love it too. Every word of the Bible is the voice of Jesus. Listen to what it says here. This is a New Living Translation. The gatekeeper opened the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his flock, own flock, he walks around of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Do you know the voice of Jesus? I love this illustration because, you know, Jesus isn't behind them with a big rod banging. He's leading them. He probably has names. Shepherd has names too sometimes for sheep. Georgina, come on. Willie, Binger. Ben, you said that's what Jesus wants us to. We are sheep and he's our shepherd. And we are to listen to the shepherd. He loves us. He's there. In that time they used to have rocks. And the shepherd would actually sleep in the gate. So the sheep can't go out, and if a danger comes in. Now, the shepherds who were hired shepherds, if a wolf came, you know what they would do? Wiedersehen. Ciao. Arrivederci. Goodbye. I'm gone. I'm out of here. That's not my pay grade. And he runs off. But Jesus is there. And he's looking after us. He's guiding us. And he wants to be your shepherd. He wants to help you. Do you want to hear the voice of Jesus? So do I. The Father certainly wants us to. This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. To which we cry, yes, Lord, yes. We want to listen to him. I hope that's what you want to do. I hope to you. You know, as I said, all the Bible says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are equipped if we're in the Word of God, if we study the Word of God. John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer. Verily, truly I say to you, the Son came not by himself. He came to do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And there's so many wonderful verses, beautiful verses that tell us. I believe this book inspired the Word of God. And you know, experience is a big thing. Experience is a big thing. And I know this is the Word of God because when I was 10 years old, at Anvil Island Bible Camp, skinny little runt. Anybody looking for Ron Edgecombe, where was he? He's up on the top of the roof or swinging from the rafters. Oh, there he is up that tree. Tell him to get down here. Very active. But I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior at camp in 1955. 1955, around a campfire at Anvil Island Bible Camp. And at that time, they were encouraging us to take Emmaus Bible courses. I did my first Emmaus Bible course at 10 years old, What the Bible Teaches. Woo! I got excited. I took the second one, the third one. And after 40 courses that Emmaus has, then I took, I'm just telling you this, my passion for the Word. Then I took 3 years of Bible training at l'Institut Biblique Bethel Bible School in French. In Quebec. Whoa, that was wonderful. And then I came back to Vancouver. I was going to say Canada, but I've gotten in trouble for saying that. When I came back from Quebec to Vancouver, I went to Northwest Baptist Theological College on the side, and I took 4 years. I got my bachelor's degree. And then I did my master's degree. Then I went to Argentina, and by correspondence for 4 years, I did my doctorate degrees, and I had to go to Georgia to defend my thesis. Why am I telling you this? Because I am telling you, I know what the Bible says. I do not know all of the answers. Oh, no. Don't ask me. I won't go in some of them. A lot of answers I don't know. But I know that this has transformed my life and has transformed people at Union Gospel Mission, Central City Mission, Harbor Light Mission. This has transformed people I know in 8 different Bible camps in Quebec, Camp Jolibé, Camp Rocher, Camp Opetika, Camp Tabudo. This has transformed the life of thousands and thousands of people. And as a Gideon, which doesn't exist anymore, it's ShareWord Global. But anyway, that doesn't matter. It changed the name. That doesn't matter. The Bible is still there. So I leave this as the last slide. 69 years of experience. And I'll sit down here. I won't answer all the theological questions. I'm a practical theologist. I am not a theologian. I can't even say it right. But please, if you want to grow, and if you're sort of lackadaisical, if you're sort of yes, no, yes, no, we, no, see, no. Get into the Word. Study the Word of God. And I hope this has been challenging for you. And excuse the personal examples, but I think it might help you to understand where I'm coming from. And it all came because I can't listen physically to you very well. But I can listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to me through the Word of God. He speaks to me. He actually speaks. And when I goof, when I make a mistake, praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, God Almighty, we thank You once again for the Word of God. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that whatever our nationality, our original nationality, we can go back if it's Chinese or Malaysian or French or Spanish or whatever language, we can go back and get Bibles in our own languages. We can study it. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll take time. Take time to read, to study. And yes, Heavenly Father, help me, help us all to practice what it says in the Bible, to obey what's in the Bible. That's our prayer, that we'll be more like Jesus. And we ask You this and give You thanks in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.